Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Really good. And we just want to say, Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He is risen indeed.
Woo! Amen, brother.
Hope you're having an awesome Easter slash Resurrection Day, whatever you like to call it. And I hope you got rid of the jelly beans and the Easter eggs and the bunnies. And because we're going to talk about what it really is. It's okay if you have that stuff. You have little kids around. But anyway, yeah, it's Resurrection Day. I'm excited.
Woo! Amen.
In the year Jesus died, this would have been the Feast of First Fruits. We'll talk about that a little bit. Two, that's one of the seven great feast days of the Lord.
Exactly.
But it's Resurrection Day.
Amen.
Death has been conquered. The grave's been conquered. And it reminds me, as I said that, about a story that I heard from a man who grew up in Albania who's a Christian. In fact, he's now a Catholic priest, but at the time he was a young boy in Albania, and Albania was a communist, totally closed off country, and the government bragged that there are no Christians in Albania.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the town square where this guy lived, the army came in and said, we're not having any kind of services or commemoration of Easter, because of course there's no Christians in Albania. And an old man who was in the crowd yelled out, Christ is risen. And somebody else yelled out, he is risen indeed. And the soldiers said, who said that? We're going to arrest whoever said that. And so everybody in the crowd started yelling, Christ is risen. And people would answer, Christ is risen indeed. So after a few minutes, the soldiers got all flustered and they got in their truck and drove off.
Oh, that's an awesome story.
Yeah.
That's an awesome story.
Yeah. Whew, and, exciting day.
You know, I think that says a lot to us, I think, in our day and culture about the world we live in,
yeah.
the communities we live in.
Yeah.
Are we willing to stand up and say, Christ is risen? Indeed,
yeah.
He is risen.
Yeah.
You know, are we willing to say, like, when Pope John Paul II went to Poland, when he came back to Poland after he was elected to the papacy, the government really didn't want him there, but they didn't want to seem weak by, like, okay, we're intimidated by this guy. Okay, we'll let him come back. And as he celebrated these outdoor masses, he gave these tremendous homilies on the Holy Spirit. And what does God want for you?
Yes.
You know, and what do you desire? Mm-hmm. And the people started, chanting, we want God, we want God, we want God. And it just reverberated.
Yeah.
And the authorities there knew that they had miscalculated.
They were done.
They had miscalculated greatly. But that's the power of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Without having to, fight or fire a shot.
Yeah.
All we have to say is,
that's right,
we want God.
And whether you
Christ
were in Poland or Albania, they knew that this was going to be the end of communism now. Because once people start to pick that up, I don't care how powerful the atheistic government is, it's going to go down.
It doesn't matter if it's Albania. It doesn't matter if it's Poland. It doesn't matter if it's the United States of America.
Amen. That's right.
Because if we don't proclaim our faith, then, we stand the chance of not, we won't live out our faith.
That's right.
You know, and so on this day, the day that we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord from the grave, it's very important that we as Christians and all believers proclaim Jesus Christ is risen.
Amen.
Indeed, he is risen. Hallelujah.
Yes. Woo. Yes, and we always talk on our show about how the cross is the center of salvation history, and it is. And if you go on the website, givetograceministries.org, you can look back. I don't remember when it is, but we did a 9-part series on the centrality of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
It is salvation, and it's the power of God under salvation. It's the instrument of salvation. But the resurrection is the ultimate sign that the new covenant is in effect, that the new covenant was sealed by the blood of Jesus, and his resurrection not only conquers sin, conquers death, conquers the grave, but gives us the power, the enthusiasm, the energy to go and proclaim it, because we're going to talk later, you know, Paul wrote, if there was no resurrection, then we're still in our sins.
Mm-hmm.
And if we put our hopes in a dead Savior, we're pretty pathetic, because you put your hopes in a dead person, you yeah. don't have much going for you. And
yeah.
so this is a really, really, really important day. And we, you know, before we even start, I want to just clarify one thing, that you always hear me explain how Jesus had a real human body, and that human body was in the womb of the Virgin Mary, was mm-hmm. born as a baby,
right.
human baby. He was circumcised, they changed his diapers, they had to feed him, and so forth. That body grew up just like any other boy grows up to become a teenager, a young man, an adult man. And that same body died on the right. cross day before yesterday
mm-hmm.
with that Passover that year, and was taken down from the cross as a dead body, was put into the grave as a dead body. But that same body came out of that tomb in a glorified state, in a glorified way, but it was the same body that went into the tomb.
Exactly.
It was then the same body that was seen by many witnesses, you know, 500 that are, most of them are still alive, as they say later in right. Acts. And it's the same body that from the top of the Mount of Olives ascended into heaven. So this physical body, this is a physical resurrection. This is not a spiritual resurrection. This is not an illusion of a resurrection. This is not, as people in the Jesus seminar say, the disciples had this mental image of Jesus, and so that's what they focused on, and that's what they thought was the resurrection. This was the physical resurrection of a physical body.
Mm-hmm. Right. And as you're saying about the covenant, and I think it's important for everyone to understand, and even, you know, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you don't understand this, it's important that you do.
Mm-hmm.
The connection between the Passover that the Israelites
yeah.
celebrated that first night in Egypt, and the Passover that Jesus celebrated mm-hmm. with his disciples at the Last Supper
mm-hmm.
before he was crucified
mm-hmm.
and before he died and rose again. And because, you know, as you're saying, without the resurrection of Jesus, we're still in our sins.
That's right.
You know, there is no power over sin and death.
If he was a dead man who they put in the grave and that was the end of him, we're still in our sins.
Yeah. But it's important to understand, you know, and I don't know if we really, did we talk about this last week? I can't remember. Anyway, in the Gospel of Matthew, and this is in chapter 26, it says, when it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him, you know, one after another, surely it is not I, Lord. Then he said, you know, and we know that he said, whoever dips his hand in the dish with me, that's the one who will betray me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Judas. Now, as they were eating, so this takes place before they were eating. Now, while they were eating, Jesus took bread and said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup, giving thanks, and gave it to them, and saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed on behalf of many for the forgiveness of sins.
Mm.
So Jesus is ratifying the new covenant,
mm-hmm.
the new and eternal covenant,
mm-hmm.
and fulfilling all of the old covenants
mm-hmm.
in his own blood.
Amen. Yes.
And it's a central part of our faith
mm-hmm.
and what Christ did for us.
Yes. The old covenant was sealed in blood, was the blood of animals.
Right.
The new covenant is sealed in his blood, in Jesus'
right.
blood. And it is as the writer to the Hebrews says, and Hebrews is my favorite book, if the first covenant would have been sufficient and perfect, we wouldn't have needed a second covenant.
Right.
But now we have a new and eternal covenant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus says this is a new and eternal covenant.
Right.
There isn't going to be another covenant,
right?
Because his blood ratifies the perfect covenant, which is eternal and is unchanging.
Right.
And if this sounds, you know, a little bit crazy to you, we need to add to that this is the only way to salvation.
Right. I mean, think of what happened at the first Passover.
Mm.
God told the Israelites, you're to procure a lamb had to be without blemish.
Mm-hmm.
You're to roast its flesh. Mm-hmm. You're to eat it with your loins girt.
Yeah.
And cover the doorpost of your homes with its blood.
Yeah.
That's the recipe.
Yeah.
That's the instruction that God gave them.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Lord came over, and when the angel of death came over and inflicted judgment upon the mm-hmm. land of Egypt,
yeah.
the firstborn of every generation of man and beast alike was struck dead.
Yes.
And there was great, I mean, it wasn't a rejoicing time.
No.
You heard, you know, I mean, think about it. These people heard cries of death throughout the night.
All night.
Yet those who were in their homes with the blood on their doorpost
mm-hmm.
were saved.
Yes.
And this is the importance of Jesus sealing us in his blood.
Yes.
And taking upon himself our sin
mm-hmm.
that we didn't pay we didn't have to pay the price.
Yeah.
He paid our debt.
Yes.
He paid my debt. He paid your debt. Yeah. And he paid everybody's debt who's listening.
Yes.
And this is the good news of the gospel.
The good news.
And there's, as you said, there's no other way. You know, sometimes people will say, well, you know, there could have been another way. Well, if God's eternal and he's all sufficient and he's infinite, then why didn't he do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If there was another way.
That's right.
And you start to, and then, you know, do you want to start to second guess God?
Hmm.
And, you know, I mean, Job did that, and we know what happened. You know,
yeah.
He had a couple chapters of reprimand there.
Yeah.
But it's important for us as believers not to forget about that first Passover.
Yeah.
Because just as the Israelites and every generation since then have celebrated the Passover meal,
mm-hmm.
we as Christians
yeah.
should be celebrating. If we don't, you need to celebrate the Passover meal.
That's right.
Because it's part of it's such an important
yes.
part of our history yeah. and the history
yes.
of salvation.
Amen.
You don't know where you come from if you don't.
That's right.
You know, how do you know where you come from if you don't know the roots of your family?
That's right. We've been grafted into
exactly.
the tree. And so some of you listeners who may already know this, my wife Joan and I just did 3 Messianic Passover Seders over the last week.
Mm-hmm.
So we really, we've celebrated Passover pretty intensively. But of course, as you say, all the feasts of the Lord, 7 of them,
mm-hmm.
prefigure Jesus. Passover
right.
is the obvious one.
Yeah.
There's lambs, there's blood.
Right.
And it's right. quite, it's so amazing that, you know, John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God."
Yeah.
I mean, it's the Lamb. You know, in the garden, Jesus says, "Let this cup pass from me." And I think, I don't know, sometime we did a show, or I just did a teaching recently. I can't remember, but I don't remember if we did a show about the cups of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's from the book of Isaiah. And this is what Jesus is talking about.
Yeah.
Because in Isaiah, God says, you know, this, you're going to have to drink this cup of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And then a chapter or two later, he says, "I'm going to take the cup out of your hand. You won't have to drink it."
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus says, "Let this cup pass from me," because it's the judgment. You know, he's not talking about a cup of coffee or a cup of wine.
Right.
He's talking about a cup of horrible wrath, and it's poured out on him.
Yeah. Who were the, was it Andrew and the 2 apostles? The one they asked, "Lord, can we sit at your right
and
your left?"
James and John.
James and John. And Jesus says, "Can you drink the cup that I must drink, or can you be baptized
yeah.
with the baptism that I will be baptized?" And they go, "Yes.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, we can." And I don't think they understood what they were answering.
Oh, no.
But so
this sacrifice for sin, this wrath that was poured out on him, and, you know, we always quote 2 Corinthians 5:21, "He who did not know sin became sin."
Right.
He was put in the grave, and I emphasize again, his physical body was put in the grave. Mm-hmm. If you would have been there that afternoon, and, you know, they had to hurry up and do this before sundown, because it was going to be the Sabbath, and
right.
everybody would have been defiled having a dead body around.
Mm-hmm.
If you would have been standing there and watched this, you would have said, "This is a dead man. He is dead." And they're putting him in that grave, and they're going to roll the stone, and they saw the stone go. And they said, "Well, I guess we might as well go home,"
mm-hmm.
because this looks like this is over with. I mean, we thought maybe this was going to be the Messiah. We thought maybe this was going to be the new king of Israel. But he's dead now. Put him in the grave and let's go home.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you have to understand the law. You have to understand the Torah to know that that body had to be put away before the Sabbath started, before the Shabbat, and that's why they had to hurry. And this is why on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb. Mm-hmm. They didn't go on Saturday morning. They didn't go on Saturday afternoon. They didn't stay there Friday night to do anything or to anoint the body. They had to wait for the Sabbath to be over.
Right.
And although the Sabbath ended Saturday at sundown, they went in the morning because they weren't going to be there at night anointing the body.
Right.
And these women had followed him in his ministry, and they knew him very well.
Right.
And so they probably thought, well, you know, we're going to just go and finish our burial custom now, because after all, this guy was our friend. He was our teacher. And they probably had a pretty heavy heart when they're on their way to the tomb with a, you know, a little container of myrrh, which is basically what they used. And they weren't expecting what they were going to find.
No, no, they really weren't. Because, you know, they saw Lazarus, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
But as we know from Scripture, they didn't always see this or see the, I guess, the broader scope of what God was doing and understand God's plan.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe we should read from the Gospel of Matthew, the account.
Okay.
Of the resurrection morning. Okay. Matthew, this is Matthew 28. So let's read that. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, approached, rolled back the stone, and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards were shaken with fear of him and became like dead men. Then the angel said to the woman in reply, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are seeking Jesus, the crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Then they went away quickly from the tomb, fearful yet overjoyed, and ran to announce this to the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them on their way and greeted them. They approached, embraced his feet, and did him homage. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me."
Mm. Yeah.
So they're going there to anoint the body of Jesus with the oil, with the with spices, to complete the burial ceremony in Jewish custom.
Yeah. And it's the third day.
And it's the third day.
And the Sabbath is over. And, oh, this is awesome.
Ooh.
Ooh. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
Oh, Lord Almighty, true and righteous are all your ways, King of the ages. Glorify your name. Behold the Lord. God is my salvation. In him I trust and will not be afraid. And I will give thanks and sing among the forever. Behold the Lord.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Great song.
Who sings that?
That's Paul Wilbur. Yes. Remember, WilburMinistries.com, buy everything.
Where can I find that?
WilburMinistries.com.
At WilburMinistries.com.
Yes.
In their product section?
Product section. That's a CD called Desert Rain.
Desert Rain.
Yes.
But if I buy everything, I should be set.
Oh, yeah. You'll
just
be
buy
set.
Everything.
You'll
okay.
be set.
Just yeah, go to Wilbur Ministries and buy everything.
Yeah. Tell him Phil sent you. Tell him Marty Getz sent you. That's kind of an inside joke. But anyway, we hope to have Paul on our radio show very soon, maybe in the next few weeks.
We're hoping.
So the women go there, and what do they expect to see? They kind of trudge over to the tomb. They saw him die on the cross. They saw him put in the tomb. And so they went there expecting to see a dead person in burial clothes.
Yeah.
You know, and then not only is the stone rolled away, but they see an angel in bright, shiny garments.
Right.
I mean, this is not what they were expecting to see. And it is, you know, they were... You know, the other guys who were there, they fell over like they were dead because this is something you're not used to this.
I mean,
Jesus had told them
right.
on the third day he was going to rise. Well, you know, when you're walking with somebody and they say, well, you know, some people are going, I'm going to be handed over and some people are going to kill me, but on the third day I'm going to rise. You kind of say, well, I don't know what he's talking about, but that sounds pretty weird.
Yeah.
So let's go on to the next, thing. We got to get to Jericho for this prayer meeting, so let's go.
Right, because there was no resurrection of nobody.
Yeah,
has risen
no one
from
had
dead.
Seen that.
No.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, again, this is all new to them, and it's all unfolding before their eyes as they're living this.
Yeah.
And you know, we have the luxury of being believers 2,000 years later.
Yes, of course.
So.
And we've heard the story so many times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we've heard the story before, and yet, you know, we're called to believe. Even though we haven't seen.
That's right.
You know, because Jesus, what does Jesus tell Thomas?
Yeah.
When he says, okay, put your finger here, put your hand in my side.
Yeah.
And Thomas says, my Lord and my God. And Jesus tells him, do you believe because you see, Thomas? You know, blessed are those who have not seen but still believe.
Yeah. And that's us.
That's us. That's all of us who have been, you know, called into the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Since Jesus ascended into heaven.
That's right.
Because we didn't see his resurrection.
Yeah. And you know, in the book of Luke, in Luke's gospel on this account, because, you know, of course, the gospel writers all write about it, but in Luke 24, you know, the angel says, why do you seek the living among the dead?
Exactly.
I mean, they went there to see a dead person, and they see living angels who say, why are you looking for a dead person? You know, why are you looking for a living person among the dead?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this, they witness to the fact that he's alive.
Yeah.
You know, these are angels. You know, the one you read about in Matthew, it's an angel. These are heavenly witnesses that Jesus is alive. He was dead, but now he's alive. And it's, you know, he's a living savior. He's not just another rabbi who is teaching them stuff.
Right.
He's not just another leader, and he had some students that he was teaching. You know, it wasn't somebody who started his own yeshiva because he wanted to have a school named after him. This was a living savior, just an ordinary man.
Right. He didn't put together a lot of philosophies
exactly.
and ideas and said, hey, if you follow all this, you'll be a happy person, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's not, Christianity is nothing about that.
Right. That's right. There's plenty of dead teachers around.
Yes.
There's plenty of dead heroes around,
yes.
You know, but Jesus is neither one of those things. And, you know, then, you know, in the Luke's account, the angel says, hey, remember what he told you when you were in Galilee? I mean, do you remember that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
It says, and then they remembered.
Right.
The angel reminded them because, you know, humans have a little more difficult time remembering stuff. And we're very good at putting out of our minds things that we don't want to think about or things that sound kind of weird. Mm-hmm. So when the angel reminds them, it says, then they remembered his words.
Mm-hmm.
So if they would have thought as they were going through this whole weekend ordeal, well, he did tell us that he was going to die. And on the third day he was going to rise. And now it's the third day. Let's go see if he's risen. You know, they don't think that way. And, you know, he said that this was going to happen. So these angels didn't really bring them any new news. You know,
right.
They reminded them of what Jesus had said. And so there they are standing there, like we said, with, you know, some little container of burial spices. And then here's these angels saying, well, he's alive. He's not dead. He's not right. here. Don't you remember what he told you? So their normal reaction is to just like start running mm-hmm. because this is all pretty overwhelming.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's pretty overwhelming. And, you know, they run back, you know, in Luke's account, they run back to tell the apostles.
Right.
I mean, you know, the first witnesses of the resurrection were women, which is good. You know, people accuse Christians all the time of being, you know, anti-woman. We're not concerned about women, you know, the way the progressive people are. Well, you know, the women were the first to witness the resurrection.
Right.
Women were among the people that ministered with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an important thing to keep in mind. And, you know, the apostles hear these women saying, you know, we went to the tomb and the tomb is empty. And, you know, this is pretty hard for even the apostles who had spent all that time with him to really take in.
Yeah. And, you know, what we have to look at from our perspective as humans is that think about John the Baptist. He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Mm-hmm. He sees Jesus and proclaims this.
Yeah.
And then when he's in prison, are you the one or should we look for another?
Yeah.
You know, that's a pretty stark contrast to what he said and to where he's at in that prison cell. He had doubts. Are you the one or are we to look for another? They saw Lazarus raised from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Mary Magdalene and Mary go back to to the disciples, and it says, but their story seemed like nonsense, and they didn't believe.
Yeah.
So it's human nature for us to, like, really be skeptical and doubt.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
Sure.
That really be true?
Sure.
But Peter gets up and runs to the tomb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty neat.
And they see the burial clause alone. And they went home amazed at what they saw.
Yeah. That's right.
So they didn't see Jesus in the tomb. And now the story of the women is confirmed by the other disciples that just went to the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like,
yeah.
Wow, something really did happen here.
You got to hand it to our friend Peter. Like, he goes to check it out.
Johnny on the spot.
Yeah. You can just picture him like running toward the place. John's a lot younger, so, you know, gets there faster. But
yeah, John outran him, but he had a faster 440 time. But this, you know, the doubt that they experienced and the fear that they're experiencing, I mean, you got to, you know, if we put this in perspective, they just saw Jesus crucified.
Yeah.
And now it's 3 days later. They're still they're fearful of their own lives.
Exactly. They're hiding in the upper room.
Exactly. And they're coming out the first day of the week on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And that's why we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord on Sunday.
Exactly.
Because that's the day he rose.
That's why we always say we hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
Right. It's not so much about all this, about, you know, changing stuff from on the Sabbath and that.
Yeah.
But Jesus rose the first day of the week on Sunday.
The scripture makes that clear that it was the first day of the week.
Right.
Yeah.
So this great miracle that happens, Jesus rises from the dead, and he's on his way to Galilee,
mm-hmm.
just as he told him. And as you said, in Luke's account, it says there's two men in dazzling garments that appeared to them.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, when I was pulled out of the ocean in Cancun.
I love that story.
That guy was brilliant white. His hair was white.
Mm.
And there was this, you know, if I think about it, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
There was this brilliant light about him.
Mm.
So there is a...
The angels like you better than they like me.
Well, I was just stupid. I went out to water because I couldn't swim. That's all. I think sometimes the more... more, you know, sometimes people will go, wow, your testimony is so awesome. And I began to realize, I'm like, well, no, that's because I just, you know, was really far away. So the Lord had to do some dramatic yeah. things to get me back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they encounter these angels and they tell him, why are you looking for him among
yeah,
the dead?
Yeah.
He's risen. Go. Yeah. Go and announce this.
And as Jesus says, you know, when God, you know, in the Old Testament, God always identifies himself as, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he says that to people. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were dead by that time. And then, you know, Jesus says, you know, God says that because he's the God of the living. He's not the God of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are just as alive to God now as they were when they were physical men
yeah.
walking around here digging wells and, you know, taking care of their flocks and
right.
eating and stuff. They're just as alive mm-hmm. because he's the God of the living. It's
exactly.
all a continuum. And, you know, this is why we have, you know, the ancient creed that says, you know, it's the communion of saints. It's like all the people that have lived through history
mm-hmm.
are all part of the body of Christ.
Right.
We can't say, oh, you know, so-and-so was a really awesome Christian, but, you know, he died in the year 422. Oh, it's too bad he's not around anymore. Well, guess what? He is around. he's just in a different place.
He's no longer on the team.
Yeah, he's just in a different place.
Yeah.
And when, and of course, Peter didn't understand that at the time. I mean, at this time, he's still our friend Peter until Pentecost morning. But, you know, as he's running to the tomb, you know, like, what's he thinking? Like, is he thinking back to when Jesus, you know, was asked, well, what sign do you give about these things, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And he says, oh, well, you know, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up.
Yeah, or the only sign I'll be given is Jonah.
Is Jonah.
Yeah.
You know, and then the Jews answer, you know, it's taken 46 years to build this temple and you're going to raise it up in 3 days?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he's talking about his body.
Right.
As he said, one greater than the temple is here. He's talking about his body. And so when he'd been raised from the dead, you know, did his disciples think about that? Like when Peter was running, was he thinking, wow, you know, Jesus said in 3 days, he said, he yeah. was going to raise this temple back up, and this is the third day. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't know what was going through his mind, but boy, that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's really interesting to, I mean, just ponder those questions sometimes because, again, we, you know, we have 2,000 years of church history that we can yeah. look at this from.
Yeah, yeah.
And it really, you know, I can speak from my own perspective that when I think about some of these things, it causes me to, I think, examine more closely my own relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And how much do I really trust God?
Mm-hmm.
Because certainly I trust the things that I understand and know. But mm-hmm. am I trusting God in the things that I don't understand and know and the things that are unfolding in my everyday life? And that's where the challenge as a believer is, as we're walking on this path, you know, we're walking with God on this path of life. How do we navigate through things?
Yeah. Yeah.
And how do we hold on to the faith that God has given us?
Yeah.
And trust and really trust in Him.
Yeah.
Because the resurrection is, as we said, without the resurrection, we're still dead in our sins.
Sure.
And if Jesus rose from the dead and God raised his own son back to life,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's going to, if I call upon him, he's going to mm-hmm. come and help me.
Yeah. And we know that he's promised us that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's promised us salvation. He's promised us eternal life. He's promised us spiritual resurrection and physical resurrection.
Right.
But yet in our day-to-day life, do we really believe that? Do we really think about that?
Right.
I mean, every time, you know, we have a pain in our thumb, we say, oh, no, this may be it. You know, I think I'm going to die. You know, it's like, because, you know, we're always thinking about the clay pot.
No.
We're always thinking about the clay pot. And,
yeah.
you know, we don't live our lives, and I'm not saying you should ignore all the stuff that's wrong with
my
you.
My thumb is hurting me.
Me too. But, you know, that we don't, you know, our hope is built on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know, like, I don't want to die today, and I don't think you want to die today. And I don't particularly say, well, I don't mind if I die in a week or, cause I really don't want to. Cause that's how we're made. We want to live.
Especially while we're doing the show. That would be.
Oh, that'd be horrible.
Yeah, that'd be horrible.
So. Nothing worse than CPR during our show. But even though we are, you know, in these physical clay containers, you know, we know what's going to be ahead.
Right.
Jesus rose on the Feast of First Fruits, which is one of the seven feasts of the Lord, for a reason. He didn't just randomly say, well, you know, that Sunday be a good day to do the resurrection.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Or God could have said, you know what? Let's do the resurrection on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
No, the resurrection was that Sunday because that year that was the Feast of First Fruits.
Mm-hmm.
So he is the first fruit of what we're going to do later.
Right.
Messiah rising is the first fruit. Paul talks about that.
Right.
And it's the fulfillment of the obedience of the second Adam. You know, Paul talks about it in Romans.
Right.
You know, the first Adam failed, second Adam obeyed.
Exactly.
And it was the sign that everything that went on up to that point was true and that the sacrifice for our salvation was true. And the resurrection is the ultimate sign.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, they didn't see this happen when they sacrificed lambs. The lambs didn't come back to life.
No.
But
no.
This lamb came back into life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Paul writes that we're buried with him through baptism. You know, we're buried with him through baptism. It was just kind of an interesting concept.
Right.
And just as Christ was raised from the dead, you know, by the glory of God the Father, even so, we should also walk in the newness of life. We're going to be resurrected.
Right.
You know, we're buried in baptism, and then we're also resurrected. And the whole point of, you know, the baptism comes from the Greek word, baptizos, which means like coming out of the water.
Right.
So it's like we go down, you know, kind
reversed.
Of like going into the tomb,
and
then we come back out, and we have new life.
Yeah. I mean, you're immersed into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we would talk about the baptism of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're immersed into or dunked into this, you know, this, the fullness of God's love.
Yeah.
And so the same thing, you know, in baptism, we die to Christ in our baptism. You know, we're buried with him.
Yeah.
We're immersed into his death so that we have that new life with him.
Yeah.
The resurrected life.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
This is awesome too.
Is Paul here?
He's not.
Oh, okay.
Remember our website, givethegraceministries.org. If you go there, you'll hear some audio teachings from the Song of Songs where this song comes from. We'll be back in just a minute.
Behold, you have come
falls for. With you I will go. You are my love. You are my fair one. Winter is past, and the springtime has come. Let me be your
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Boy, someday we should do a whole show just on that song.
Maybe a couple of shows.
Yeah. It's from the Song of Songs. That's actually from chapter 2. But mm-hmm. Song of Songs actually is my favorite book. Well, one of my favorite books.
What are your favorite books?
In the top...
73?
The top whatever it is. But anyway. But, you know, the... And again, it's the resurrection that brings all this on. You know, mm-hmm. the church becomes the bride because of what Jesus did on the cross and because of the resurrection. You know, and the church is presented in Ephesians 5, it says, as a pure and spotless bride. I don't know about you, but I'm not pure and I'm not spotless, but I'm going to be presented as a pure and spotless bride. And yeah, we could do a whole show. Boy, we could do a whole series about that.
Mm-hmm.
About the bride. Maybe we'll do that. But anyway, so here we are. It's the last part of the show on Resurrection Day. And Steve, why don't you read, you said you had something else from Romans 6 there.
From Romans 6, yeah. Yeah, Peter says, for if we have grown into union with him through a death like this, we shall also be united with him in the resurrection.
Hmm.
We know that our old self was crucified with him,
yeah.
So that our sinful body might be done away with, that we might no longer be in slavery to sin. For a dead person has been absolved from sin. If, then, we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ, raised from the dead, dies no more.
Mm.
Death no longer has power over him. As to his death, he died to sin once and for all. And that means once and for all people.
That's right. In Hebrews it says once for all.
Yes. As to his life, he lives for God. Consequently, you too must think of yourselves as being dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. That's the essence of being a believer in Jesus Christ.
Amen. There's so much of a connection between the physical act of Jesus dying and rising and how our life has changed because of it. Because we have the death and curse of sin.
Right.
You know, that's nailed to the tree along with him.
Right.
You know, the old man, you know, Paul says the old man, not elderly man, but the old man, the former way of thinking has been nailed to the cross.
The former way of life. Yeah.
Yeah. Former way of life is gone. And that's the body of sin's done away with.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure. We're still going to commit sins here and there, but the body of sin has been done away with and we rise with him. You know, because death doesn't have dominion over him anymore. It's not going to have dominion over us anymore.
Exactly.
And, you know, we're going to end up living like he lived because we're adopted sons and daughters. And we're going to be like him in the likeness of his resurrection, he says. And one more thing I want to say about first fruits, because, you know, in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about how the last enemy to be destroyed is death, and we see that.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus conquers death and conquers the grave by rising. So physical, human Jesus of Nazareth dies and then rises from the dead. Eternal Jesus, second person of the Trinity, can't die, but the physical Jesus died and then rose again. And this is how death is conquered, mm-hmm. because we're in that same boat.
Amen.
And, you know, in 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 23, Paul writes, "But now Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man, capital M, also came the resurrection." And it's interesting there because he, you know, when you read that, it's man, little M, which is us, you know, because man, Adam, brought death.
Mm-hmm.
Capital M, man, brings about the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all die, so in Christ, all shall be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruit, and after those, and after that, us is basically what he's saying.
Those who believe,
Woo! Those who believe. So,
amen.
He's the first fruits. We're going to do that too.
Exactly.
And he's doing what we're going to do. So the enemy of death is destroyed because we're going to have spiritual resurrection. I mean, that's going to happen the second that we die, but then ultimately we're also even going to have bodily resurrection.
Right.
The graves are going to, people are going to rise out of graves. The sea is going to give up her dead. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have glorified bodies.
Exactly.
Mine hopefully will have hair. Reunited with our soul because a human being is a body-soul unity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the body isn't really good without the soul, and the soul's really not good without the body.
Yeah, they kind of go together.
And so it's death is an unnatural thing.
Exactly.
It separates that.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this gift of salvation that Jesus won for us on the cross by his death and resurrection is just an incredible gift that God gives us, even though we don't deserve it.
That's right.
And that's the... You know, that's just the mercy of God and the love of God, because he wants us to be reconciled with him. He wants us to be reunited with him. And he does that through the gift of his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. And I really don't care if my glorified body has hair or not. I'm just going to be so happy to be there. Who cares?
You know, Psalm 84 says, you know, that the threshold of the house of God is better than, you know, the houses of, you know, those who don't believe in God.
That's for sure.
And that's exactly what we're going to experience when we get to heaven.
Amen.
Woo!
Well, I hope you've had an awesome resurrection day.
And we pray that, as Paul says, we would become the fruits of the resurrection, just like Jesus was, that we would experience that power of his resurrection in our lives this day and every day. God bless everyone.
An altar.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.